It's a cool thing, man. As I was sitting there listening to the songs, and maybe it's because I'm already geared towards it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you see things because you're already thinking in that direction anyway. Today, through our worship, today we're going to be talking about being a part of God's family. How many of you know we are so blessed to be able to be a part of His family? You know, that's our ultimate blessing that we have, right? But sometimes we forget those things. But this morning in our songs, man, we're going to talk about being born into His family today and adopted into the family and transferred into the family. And it was crazy the amount of the worship that we talked about today with Graves into Garden. We're being brought into a new life, right? We're being born again. Called my name and I came out of the grave. I'm being born again, right? All of the songs that we talked about, Dead Man Walk Again, song 3, right? We kept going. That's not the title of it, but that's the line of the song, right? That was there. Everything today has kind of woven to this one point, this one thought process that I see. And I see it like Aaron calls it the fingerprint of God, seeing the fingerprint of God moving, because Aaron didn't have my notes until Friday night. He should have had them sooner, but he only had them Friday night, right? And so he prepared this song set a long time ago. And you can just see how God moves and works and does things together. This week we're going again talk about in the series Blessed. We're going to talk about that we're blessed to be a part of the family of God. And last men's breakfast, Aaron spoke, and then he spoke last week at Revolution Church, and we talked about what he was preaching there, and it was about identity, about our. How many of you know? Unless you know who you are, you don't really understand what you have, right? Unless I understand where I'm at, and until we understand exactly who we are, we never will understand how truly blessed we are to be a part of God's family. And in saying that, I want to read a couple of scriptures to start off with from the Apostle Paul. And Paul was amazing at explaining things to people using principles that they already knew to show them something different, right? So he goes to Athens and he says, man, you guys have all these busts of all these different gods. And then you have one that's an unknown God. Let me show you who the unknown God was. So he took what they knew and he gave them something different with it, right? Jesus did the same thing with parables. He talked to farmers. He talked about sowing seeds. He talked to fishermen. He talked about fishing for men, right? He used what people already knew to explain what the principles of God. Remember, I've told you again and again and again that every spiritual principle, there's a physical principle that mirrors it, right? That it works. So the principles that we see in the spiritual world also work in the physical world. And most of the time, the principles that we see in the physical world have a spiritual concept to go along with it as well. Amen? This morning, we're going to read a couple of verses here to start off with. And Ephesians 2:19, it says, so then, trying to explain to them exactly who they were. How many of you know sometimes we need to explain to us over and over and over again, right? I know it, but I forget about it. You know that's why we have all these celebrations that we have? Why we have Thanksgiving, so we remember to be thankful? Why do we have anniversaries, so we remember the day that God gave us an amazing gift and our husband or our wife, right? We celebrate birthdays. Why? So that we can count how old we are. Now, who wants to get older? Like, at 25, I stopped wanting to get older because, like looking forward to it. Why? Because, like, my insurance went down. That's the last good thing till I hit 55 and I get free, like, cheaper meals, right? Well, that wasn't quite true because my mother-in-law used to work at a place and they had the Fabulous 40 Club, right? And she called me and said, would you like to be, you're 40, right? I'm like, yes. She's like, would you like to be a part of the Fabulous 40 Club? I was like, what are you trying to say? Like, what are you trying to say? She's like, you get 20% off. I'm like, sign me up, right? That was one of those, I was happy about it then, right? And there's things that we look forward to. But why do we celebrate birthdays every year? So that we get to celebrate that God has given us another year, one. And secondly, the gift that God has given me and my children, right? I get to celebrate them and what He's done. And so in going through all these different things, we see different celebrations, different things that are to remind us of things. How many of you know we need to be reminded of what the Scripture says and about who we are in the Scripture as well? Over and over and over. Paul talks to him. He says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So Paul is talking to them and explaining to them, let me tell you exactly who you truly are. Who you truly are. Because sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we don't feel like we're a part of the family. Amen? Sometimes because of the issues, the things that we've done, our past, or maybe our thoughts at the moment, we think, man, I cannot be a part of God's family and think this way, right? You know, thoughts come, and we're supposed to cast them at the feet of Jesus according to the scripture. You're not evil because you have a thought. You're evil because you act on it and you dwell on it, right? That's when sin comes in, right? Anyway, he's talking to them about the terms that they understand. The aliens, meant to represent short-term transients, non-residents without any rights, right? So in America, it's a little bit different now than it was back then in that culture. If you didn't belong there, you didn't have any rights there. You couldn't be a part of what was going on. You couldn't be in the middle of it. You couldn't be involved in it. You were an outsider. You were just standing there looking in, right? Strangers is the similar word that he pointed out, and it's pointing to residents or foreigners who had settled permanently in this country by their own choice, but they still had limited rights. They were unable to do certain things. These terms describe the Gentiles before Christ, before Paul started preaching to the Jews, that the Gentiles were a part of the family as well. I don't know how many Jewish people we have in here, but I'm very sure it's not that many, and I'm glad that he decided to include me. Amen? I'm very glad. Fellow citizens and members, the terms meant showed the picture that the Gentiles had a new position in God's family, that they had a new place, and it wasn't that of an outsider looking in. It was that of family, people who belonged. How many of you know we look at people so many times and think they don't belong? I'm just being honest, right? I don't do that. Okay, yeah. Lion altar call later, yeah, again? We'll do that. We look at people and say, well, they're this, and we maybe not want them, or they that, or this happens, or do you know, and I might be getting ahead of myself because I might go there later, but do you know that even though Judas betrayed Jesus, he was still a part of his family and he still loved them, even though he knew he was about to go do this thing, yeah. Right? True love is loving people despite who they are, despite what they've done, but despite what they're going to do. True love is loving that person that cuts you off in traffic. I'm just going to let you marinate on that one for a minute. Understanding that as believers, we are adopted into the family and we are united with the saints of every era, past, present, and future, into the family of God. Hallelujah. Into the family of God. That means the ones who haven't come to him yet are still a part of our family. How many of you know we're all God's children? We tend to forget that. We tend to forget that. We tend to forget that he created each and every one of us. Now, whether we choose to follow him and to come to Christ and to come to him through what he's given us is a different story, but we're all created in his image. Amen? We need to understand that. So today, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to read this one reason. This before I get into my first point, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, everybody say every family, in heaven and on earth is named. Every family. He loves every single one of us. He loves all the people that he's placed around us. The ones that look different from us. The ones that act different from us. The ones that don't have what we have or have more than what we have. We're all his children, amen? We're all born into the family, and the first point in your notes that I want us to remember and understand is that we are born into a family of unconditional love. Unconditional love. We're born into the family. What does that mean? Nicodemus had a tough time understanding this principle. How many of you know sometimes people say stuff to you and be like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And it isn't until it's explained or until you experience it that you truly understand what it means, right? John 3:3, Jesus said, and he answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus, he was a teacher of the law, right? He was a higher up, very established. He came to him at night There's some discrepancies on whether, why he came to him at night. Some people are saying he came because he was mean. Some people say he came because he was ashamed to come to Jesus. There's a lot of different thought processes on why he came, and I can't explain to you what it is because I wasn't there. But I do know that he came to him at night, and then he called him Rabbi. He said, Rabbi, I know that you're from God because of the things that you do. Again, remember, how do people know that we're a part of the family of God? Because of the life that we live. Huh. How do they know that we're not a part of the family of God? Because of the life that we live. I mean, you know, there's a difference, there's a change, there's something new, and that's what we're going to be talking about here, is the scripture tells us that, again, he came to him at night, he called him Rabbi, which is a word of respect in that culture. You didn't say that unless you meant it, right? And so he asked him this question, and Jesus said, you have to be born again. He's like, so you're telling me I've got to go back into my mom's womb and come out again? I might not want to do that, right? That's what he says, and Jesus says, man, you're not understanding, this is Toby translation, you're not understanding what I'm saying, right? You have to be born again. How many of you know that when we come to Christ, how many of you know we can say a prayer and still not be a part of the family of God? Just be honest, right? And you say, well, why do you say that? Because it says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you will be saved. But how many of you know when you believe in your heart, things change? You change. When I come to God, I can't be the same that I was before. Why? Because then I'm not born again. Amen? I know this is a tricky situation, and people are like, man, I don't really get what you're saying, and that's okay. Come talk to me later, and I'll explain this some more. But this is the principle. When you were born again, all things are made new, right? 2 Corinthians, write this down. It's not in your notes. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has come new. All has been made new, right? Not some has been made new. Like, you can't have a new old thing, right? I mean, I can buy a car that don't belong to me. It's new to me. I understand that principle. But I can't. Do you know why? And, like, we don't do a lot of sewing and mending of clothes. We used to just get rid of them a lot of times. I did. But do you know you can't take an old outfit, like a pair of jeans. If I rip my jeans, if I take an old pair, piece of cloth, or a new piece of cloth, and I put it in that old, and then as I wash it and do it, what happens? It starts to shrink, it tears apart, it doesn't work properly, right? See, a lot of times we try to take a piece of new and put it in our life with the old that's there. It happens. And because of it, what happens? People look at God and be like, man, they're not new. I thought you was making them new. They blame it on God. Do you know why it's really easy to blame stuff on God? People blame stuff on God all the time. Ain't his fault, right? I do something stupid. God, why'd you do that to me? He's like, wait, you did it yourself, man. I was just here, right? You can't take the new and add it into the old. What ends up happening? It ends up causing more damage than it causes good, just to be honest. The principle of the baptism into Christ, when Paul talks about a baptism into Christ, what does baptism represent? What do we do when we get baptized outside? What do we represent? The death, burial, and resurrection, right? So the old me is completely gone, and the new me is here. Ta-da! We need to understand that we've been born into the family. Why? Why would God choose us to be a part of his family? Why would God choose to bring us in? And it's simply because he created us to love him, to honor him, to be in fellowship with him. It's because of sin that we were drawn away. And you say, well, I don't understand. He told Jeremiah this is really cool. He told Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I have a question for you. He's like, yeah, that's really good. But he wrote that to Jeremiah, not to me. But how many of you understand the scripture also that God is no respecter of persons? And God doesn't love Jeremiah more than he loves me. So when he created me, he said, man, this is what I'm creating you to be. And it's amazing. But born into sin, I end up being over here with what I want to do and be. And it's not until I come to God through Christ that I can ever get to what God created for me. Born into love. Peter said it, Acts 10:34. You can write that down too. It's not in your notes. Acts 10:34 says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality.'" That's where that comes from in the scripture. He doesn't care more for anybody else than he cares for me. But he also doesn't care more for me than he does anybody else. We need to remember that. Why do we end up thinking the opposite thought of that? Because pride comes into our heart, into our life, and says, "I'm better than other people." And it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Why does God do this? Why does he allow us to be born again into his family? Only because he loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." I added 17. I need us to remember that part. Because how many times people see God or a father, because of earthly fathers or because of what they think about God or whatever, that God is looking to punish his children. And it's not true. I don't look for things to punish my kids about. But when they come up, I don't shy away from them. Right? That's a whole other thing. We'll talk about that next week when we're going to talk about being sons and daughters of the Most High King. Y'all ready for that one? That's next week. I ain't going to go too much for that. But I love my kids. Where did I learn how to love my kids? Honestly, from my earthly father, who learned it from his father or not from his father, right? How many of you know some fathers aren't what they should be? Just be honest. We don't all do good. Some of us don't even want to do good. Be truthful. Some of us want to do everything we can to be good and are upset because we missed the mark in our eyes. One of the craziest things to me that just kind of destroys my heart. Sorry, I'm crying again, y'all. Get used to it. just be honest. He's like, we're already used to it, man. Go ahead. One of the things that just wrecks me is when just hang on. Is when I talk to my daughters, and one of them in particular, and I say, "I'm sorry, I have not been a good dad. Sometimes I'm not." And she looks at me and says, "Dad, you're the best dad in the world." Like she doesn't even see the issues in me. Why? Because she loves me. And love does an amazing thing. It covers a multitude of sins, according to the scripture. That all my faults, that all my issues, despite them, God said, "I love you. Come into my family." I gotta hurry. Y'all ready? Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What else does love do? Again, as I spoke earlier, I told you I was going to talk about this in a minute. Luke 6:35, Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend and expect nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil." He's kind to me. He's kind to me. Paul talks about over and over and over that he's the worst one of all of us. And how I look to him for a lot of advice in the scripture, right? God gave 2/3 of the New Testament to a God that says, "I'm jacked up, but this is what God is. I'm messed up, but this is how God loves me, even through my stupidity." So this is what true love is. Loving your enemies, loving those who don't return the love, loving those who don't deserve the love. you'll be happy about that one because we don't deserve his love. Jesus loved people in the midst of them treating him horribly at the cross. Said, Father, forgive them because they don't get it. The Toby translation again. They don't understand what they're doing. You know, a lot of times if we knew we were being jerks, we wouldn't do it. Just be honest. It's not till after the fact. Well, maybe some of us just like, I like being a jerk. That's who I am. Okay. Well, there's that. So, but honestly, most of us, if we knew that it was causing an issue, we would never do it. It's not that we're doing it because we're spiteful or we're hateful or we're mean. We're just boneheaded sometimes, right? We are born, number one, in your notes again, we are born into a family of unconditional love. So thinking that thought, we should love unconditionally. Next thing we're going to go to in your notes. Number two, Scripture tells us that we are adopted into a family of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Like, where does it say that? Well, it doesn't say it exactly that way. But you can see the principle all through Scripture. All through Scripture. We see Joseph going into Potiphar's house. What happened? He got put to the very top and was running the house. Why? Because God gave him favor. Yeah. He got put into the prison and he rose all the way to the top at the prison. Why? Because God gave him favor. We look at Daniel. Now, we see Daniel stand up and say, hey, this is what I want to do. But if you read before that, when he went to the chief of the eunuchs, it said Daniel had found favor in the eyes of that man. So he was able to come and ask that question. He was able to come and say, this is what I want to do, man. Trust me, I need to do this. This is between me and my God. This needs to happen. Please. He didn't demand it, right? He didn't say, this is my right. You got to give it to me. He just said, this is what I need to do. But why was he able to do that? Because God had given him favor in the eyes of that man. Do you know, as Christ followers, we should have favor in the eyes of people when we go places? Just be honest. Just be honest. We should have favor. I think it's funny. We go to certain, we used to go, when we were doing youth stuff, we used to go to the McDonald's down there at the end, and we would always clean up. We would always take care of stuff. We would always, you know, try and be nice, even when they were slow and got everything wrong and whatever it was. Man, we just like, all right, whatever. We don't care. We're just glad to be here, right? And you know what? Whenever they had anything that they did that was a mess up, they would come to us and give it to us. Why? Just favor, right? Just favor. Hey, listen, we made three Sundays, and then the people drove away. And if they come back, we'll make them new ones, but these are going to melt. So do you guys want them? Sure. That's favor, right? That's people thinking of us when they don't have to. Do you know what? They could have sat behind a counter in the back off the camera and went, right? Could have. I probably would have. I'm just going to be honest. Right? But we get unmerited favor. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus had favor. Right? You said, well, he's the Son of God. But this is when he was young. This was when he was young. Luke 2, 40 and 52. I'm going to read those two verses. They're not in your notes, so write them down. Luke 2, 40, 52. It says, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. So it wasn't just the favor of God that laid on Jesus' life. Men had favored him, looked at him and said, there's something different. And this was before his ministry. This was before he started doing miracles, right? People came to him. How many of you know, when we're in Christ, people should see the favor of God in our life. We should have it. Why? Because, again, we've been adopted into the family. Ephesians 1, 5. I'm going to read this verse. It says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will. I'm going to read down through verse 10. I'm going to come back and talk about it. Y'all ready? and to the praise of his glorious grace, and which he had blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom, insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. I want us to think about this, that first verse. Man, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus. How amazing is it that before the foundations of the earth, he made a way that I could be a part of the family? Before anything happened, before the first person was made, before anything went on, he said, Tob, I love you. I'm going to have something for you, man. And I want you to be a part of my family. Some people read that scripture different than I do and get into the predestined, how he predestined and called some and didn't call others. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. I believe we have free will. I believe everybody is available to come, but it's my choice whether I come to the dinner or not, right? We're having Thanksgiving dinner tonight. There's going to be amazing things here. If you miss it, I'm sorry, but you were invited. It was available. You could have had it. You chose not to. Kingdom of heaven. It's there. It's available. God says this, I set before you this day, blessing, cursing, life, death. I want you to choose life. I want you to. Please. It's up to you. Before the foundations of the earth, he made a way that I could come to him and be a part of the family. I could be adopted in. And because of his grace, we all have access, which he blessed us with in his son. He said, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of blessing God gives us. A lot of blessings. They range from all different shapes and sizes, all over the spectrum of our life. Some people don't get it. Some people think blessing is just one thing. I'm going to explain to you. Our most valuable blessing that God has or will ever give us is his son. Access to him. Once I'm a part of the family, everything the Father has is available to me. Everything. Again, going back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there's some blessings I ain't ready for yet. My 8-year-old drove the 4-wheeler around the trailer at Mama's house this week up in Louisiana all by herself. I'm scared right now, right? Like, that's a blessing. It's not quite your blessing yet, okay, kid? But I wasn't there, so my wife let her ride it around only once. But she did. She did okay. She didn't kill, running, nothing. It was, I mean, everything's in one piece still, if it's supposed to be, right? But you know what? I'm not going to give her the keys to the car because she did a good job driving that little 4-wheel around the house, right? There's principles, there's blessings, there's things God has for us, but we're not ready for them yet, so we ain't going to give them to us yet. Why? Because we're going to do damage. But he's blessed us with so many things. We are adopted into the family, and because of that, one of the blessings that we get is the favor of God in our life. So when we go into court to do certain things, we can have favor. Let's remember when we go in that we're a child of God and not an angry outsider, right? Let's go to the next one. In him we have redemption through the blood. We have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us. What other blessings come to us? Well, let's read it and find out. In all wisdom and insight and making known to us the mystery of his will. We stand around and be like, God, what's your will? What's your will? The scripture tells us he makes that known to us. We don't have to struggle with it. Look in the scriptures. Remember, pray without ceasing, right? Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing good, right? Look to him. Always in thanksgiving, right? Give thanks in all things. And then he's like, this is the will of God in your life, in Christ Jesus, right? And we're like, God, what's your will? He's like, be obedient with what I've given you. Love people. thankful. Be thankful to God and to others. Always be in God's presence. I don't have to walk around like in a zombie state of prayer all the time, but I always got to be in consistent contact with Father. Right? So, they say, and I can't remember, I'm trying to remember the percentage, but honestly, they say like 90-something percent of communication is nonverbal. Think about how much communication that we have with God through our actions. Think that thought. We're going to come back. Let's go back to the good stuff. All wisdom, insight, and making known the mysteries of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth where? In Christ. Where do we find all these things? In Christ. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and these just go ahead and talk about how we're adopted into the family more often, more and more. Galatians 4, 5 through 7, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I love the fact when we start talking about the prodigal son, when he comes back and he says, I'm not worthy to be one of your kids. I'm not worthy. I just want to be a lowly servant. He says, that ain't how it works. You're my son, and I love you, and everything I have belongs to you again. Yeah. I'm going to say something some of y'all are going to have a hard time catching. Ready? The story of the prodigal son, it's all about a backslidden person. Because he was a son. He had everything. He had all of the stuff. And then he decided to walk away. And then he came back and said, I've walked away from you. I'm not worth it. That's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it? We just think, anyway. We are a part of the family. He's adopted us in. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer that who's being controlled. But we have freedom. That's what Paul talks about over and over and over, about the freedoms that we have in our life that God has given to us to be able to do life as he wants us to. Not using our freedoms as an occasion to sin. Important part of that. Important part of that. We are sons. And if we're sons, then we are an heir through God. 2 Corinthians 6:18 said, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Titus 3:3-5 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Let's stop right there. Sometimes we still live in that place of hatred that needs to be gone from our life. Be honest. I'm going to get political on y'all again in a minute. You ready? If you're a Republican, you're not supposed to hate the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you're not supposed to hate the Republicans. If you're an independent, you're supposed to love both sides. That's on, right? You're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love everyone. Regardless of their differences from us. Why? Because God loved us even through our differences. We forget that thought. I'm going to say it again. We forget that thought. And we need to remember it over and over and over and over. Because this is what it says in verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because works we had done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, that by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. When we come to God, going back to what I talked about, being born again in him, death, burial, and resurrection, when we come to him, his Spirit comes in and renews and changes and restores everything inside of us. Why do you think it's important that we walk by the Spirit, according to Paul? Because if we don't, we get back into our own lusts and desires. We're drawn away. Like, well, I wasn't drawn away. Well, then you just walked there yourself. I don't know what happened. Like, he just chose it. That's what happens. We forget that there's supposed to be a regeneration, a renewal inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, to change us towards that. And when we start to feel like we're going back to the old ways, what do we have to do? God, fix it. Help me. Holy Spirit, give me the power that your word says that you'll give me. Give me the strength, the self-control to not do the things that I really want to do right now to that guy that just cut me off in traffic. The one with 32 items in a 10-item or less aisle, right? Help me now. Y'all probably don't deal with petty stuff like that, but it's like eats me up, man. I'm just like, she got 7 things, and it's a 5-hour or less. You take them 2 items over there, lady, right? Gentle, Holy Spirit, come, right? We need to understand that we should be and are to be renewed daily. Daily. It's not a one-time thing. Right? No thanks. I had Thanksgiving dinner last year. I'm not going to eat again till maybe next time if I feel like it. Like, no, you ate all in between those, right? Some of us more than others. Let's be honest. When we come to God, there's a regeneration. All things are made new. We are born into his family. We are adopted into his family of unmerited favor. I'm not going to read this part to save time. You guys check it out later. It's in your notes. John 8, 38 through 42 to 44. It talks about Abraham. They said, well, we're children of Abraham. And he's basically like, act like it. He said, but you are following the father of this world and not your heavenly father with what you're doing, with how you're doing it. Do you know somebody, I don't remember who it was. It was Aaron. We were at prayer the other night, and I walked by, and I walked over, and I got some tissues, and I came back, and he said, dude, you walk just like your father does. Like, if you know Pastor Kyle, people look at me and it's like, I can see him and you like 100%. Like, that, you know what? When we're, yeah, you can't deny me. Surprise, Dad, here I am. He's watching online, by the way. Anyway, so it's one of those things that when I'm a child of God, people should see him in me. When I walk by, people should say, man, that's a child of God right there. He belongs to his father. I'm sure people, the world doesn't think about that question. So if I say, when's the last time somebody said, like, yeah, that's a child of God right there. Like, people that aren't a part of that's a Christianese saying, just so you know. People outside of church don't understand that. But when is the last time that you walked by and somebody knew that they knew that they knew that something was different and they couldn't put their finger on it? When? When is the last time that your life, people looked at your life and said, man, wow, whatever they've got happening right now, I wish I could be that. I wish I could be that. Again, I look to my pastor in Louisiana. I've said this again. Pastor Carl Kelly, man, he is amazing when it comes to honoring people, whether they're standing there or not in his conversation. I'm not telling y'all I dishonor you when you're not standing by me, right? That's not what I just said. But I wish I had that gift, that ability. I know people that people can say stuff to them and it just roll right off their back like they don't even care. I wish that I had that. I don't. Like I pray, God, help me with this. The bad thing is it keeps happening, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it, right? But we take on the characteristics of our Father, and we should. There's a difference that comes over us and in us when we become a child of God. If you look at Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, he's talking about Moses. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. This right here explains us today. We can either choose to live in the world with what the world wants us to have and do, or we can choose to be mistreated in this time, right now, by the world because we're children of God.
Well, you, that's just crazy. That's just, do you know what? I'm just going to, let me go to net three. No, I'm going to go to three because I don't need to say that now. Maybe another time. Ah, number three. No, back to number two. We need to, I'm not going to go there. I just got to finish up my point, my thought process on two. We need to understand that that we either live like the world or we live like God's children. We can't live in the middle with both feet, one on one side of the fence. Again, quote this scripture all the time, Revelations. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're neither one, so I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So basically, get in or get out, but don't play in the middle. What ends up happening when we play in the middle? We mess stuff up. We mess people up. We drive people away from God because they look at it and say, that ain't right. Whatever that is, you're calling that God, that ain't right. I don't want to go there. Let's go back to be part of the family and enter in and joyful stuff. Number three, we are transferred into a family of unearned blessing. So we see Moses as a baby put in a basket, sent down the river. Again, going back to favor that we get, what does that favor look like? That favor looks like when Pharaoh's daughter finds him and knows that it's an Israelite baby that should be destroyed, says, something about this kid. I want to keep him for myself, right? Keeps him. Unmerited favor. Sister's there. Runs up to her and says, hey, you want me to find an Israelite woman to take care of him so you ain't got to worry about all that? That's a good idea, right? She takes him back to his mom to raise him and raise him up and to bring him in. So the thing that his mom gave away, God gave right back to her, right? Think that thought. But then what happened? Moses is a part of Pharaoh's family, and there comes a time, there comes a moment where he has to decide, I'm either going to be Egyptian or I'm going to go to my family, my father in heaven. And he says, regardless of what it costs me, regardless of the things I have to give up, regardless of where it's going to take me to the backside of the desert watching sheep instead of in a mansion eating all kind of crazy goodness, right? I am going to choose God. We need to understand it's a choice. It's a choice. And when we make that choice again, number three, we're transferred into a family of unearned blessings. Colossians 1, 13 through 14, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. The blessings of God on the children of God go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Before anything happened, the blessing was on them. Genesis 1:28, it says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Think this thought. They're brand new. What do they do to deserve God blessing them? Like, he had just created them. They didn't have time to do good or bad yet. And it said he blessed them. He blessed them. He gave to them. Why? Because they were his children. He created them. Nothing. They did absolutely nothing to earn it. It's just because God is good. What have you done to earn it? Nothing. In matter of fact, we've probably done stuff to not earn it, to not have it, right? It's just because he is good. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. What's so amazing about having the Spirit? If we look at 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Why is it so amazing that we have the Holy Spirit in us? Because it gives us freedom to be able to be who he created us to be. It gives us an ability to be free from all the things that are holding us back. All the sin, all the issues, the problems that we have. We can have freedom from them. We can. It's available. Again, why do we walk by the Spirit? Why is it important that we walk by the Spirit? According to Paul, according to right here, Paul, when he's writing 2 Corinthians. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom from my past. Freedom from the things that bother me in my mind. Freedom. Deliverance. Psalm 68:6. Guys, come on back up. We're going to stop. And ladies, come back up. Sorry. People who sing. Psalm 68:6. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God leads the prisoners to prosperity. Some of you guys today are walking in a parched land. You're walking in a place that you were never intended to be. It wasn't made for you. You know, people say, well, if God says a great God, then how come he sends people to hell? He doesn't send them there. They walk there themselves.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. You can either choose to be a part of God's family. You can either choose to accept the free gift that he's given to us, or you can do your own thing. Understanding that this world doesn't last long. Now, sometimes it feels like it lasts forever, right? It doesn't compared to eternity. And according to Scripture, the life we live today prepares our place in forever. Right? How do we know that? Well, because Jesus says, store your crowns, your treasures in heaven, where it can't be taken away. So there are things that we are doing today that are storing up treasures in heaven. There's also things that we are doing today that prepares us for something totally different. According to Scripture, it's in there. Cool thing is, God, before the foundation of the earth, made a way for you and for me to be a part of his family. To be in relationship, to be brothers and sisters with everyone sitting in this room. Right? Are you ready to be a part of God's family today? Are you ready to be set free? Are you ready to not just say a prayer and then continue on being exactly who you were before? Are you ready to be made new today? That's available for you. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Today I want to be changed. Regardless of where I'm sitting at, regardless of how long I've known Christ, regardless of anything, today I'm ready to go further. I want to go deeper. I want to be who he created me to be. I want to let go of all those things. I want to have freedom that his word says that I can have because of what Jesus Christ did for me, because I'm a part of the family. I want to have those blessings in my life, and I want to walk in them. I want to understand what they are. I want to be able to give them to other people. I want to be able to show other people what God wants to do in their hearts and their lives. That's you today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You be honest and say, that's me. I need that in my life right now. Just put it up. Put it right back down. I need it. I need it. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I need it. Thank you. Thank you. God is so good to us, y'all. He's so good to us in that right now, he has given us this opportunity to decide to make a change. He's given us this opportunity to look to him and say, I accept the free gift of your son. I want you to say that with me. I accept the free gift of your son. Make me new. Create in me a clean heart. Allow me to be renewed. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
The cool thing is, we're about ready to cheer y'all. Y'all ready? The cool thing is we are a part of an amazing family. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And we just have more people to be a part of our family. How many of you like it when your family grows?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was, y'all did really good at responding to that one, y'all. Just, how many of y'all are happy when your family grows?
Yes.
Are you excited? You want to celebrate?
I do.
Perfect time to celebrate is tonight, right? We're having dinner with our church family. We're going to be hanging out. We've got, listen, I'm just going to be real. If you guys come, there's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
Only 15, government. Only 15. No, right? That's fine. I'm fine. We're going to have a lot of people here. So let me encourage you in this. If you are not comfortable coming around people without having a mask on, wear a mask. If you're comfortable, don't. But either way, don't be mad at the other people because they're not doing what you want them to do. Right? Right? That's how I feel. We're gonna have the food set up next door in just a minute. If you want to stand, help, that'd be amazing. If not, that's cool. I want you to stand outside and talk, because we're going to transform this place right here into our dinner table for tonight. So we're going to be stacking chairs and moving tables and getting things set up. The ladies are going to come in and decorate and get things ready. Again, if you are bringing food, bring it at 3 p.m. We'll be here to receive it, right? Bring it at 3 o'clock so that way they can get it sorted out and taken care of. And, do you need to say something? What? Oh, that's all right. We'll bring it when it's not cooked. It's okay. Talk to me later. If it's not cooked by 3, come on, bring it. Between 3 and 4, we want to sit down. So, and this is what you're going to do for me to help out so that the ladies can get ready, because we're going to do it differently. We're not going to have, how many of you are funny about buffets where everybody's putting their hand on the spoon and putting it in their thing? Don't worry about that. We're going to have ladies that standing behind a table and they're going to serve to you what they have with gloves and take care of and have those things. And you can have as much as you want, right? Just leave some for somebody else. Do you know why I like doing it at the end? I like coming last through the line. Sometimes it backfires on me. But I like going last through the line because then I can have as much of any one thing as I want. Y'all can't say nothing because y'all all had an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
But one year the turkey ran out and the jambalaya ran out and I had fried chicken wings that I don't like those. But anyway, I like wings, just not the fried, never mind. Doesn't matter. Come hang out. It's going to be an amazing time. This is our opportunity to get to know the people that we sit by every week and don't have time to talk because we're coming in, going out, rushing and doing these things. This is 2 hours that we're just going to hang out and have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Celebrate the family that God's given us. Amen?
Yeah, praise God.
All right, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get ready to go. We're going to sing a song together, and then we're going to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for your love, grace, and mercy, the ability to be a part of your family. It is so amazing, Father. I ask that you would help us see you in our lives. Help us enjoy the family that you've given us. Help us to be thankful for everything that you've placed in our life, in our hands, and the opportunities to share your love, grace, and mercy. Help us to see those and not pass them by. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,